Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody again. I've been working a lot, so I haven't been able to come to church, but I'm here today, so thank God. And I'm with the brothers and sisters, you know, and it's good, feels good. And we have been in Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And it's been a good couple weeks. I'm feeling good, you know. It's working hard, working a lot. I just closed on a house 2 days ago, so yeah. So that's a big deal. First time.
Yesterday?
2 days ago.
Friday.
Yep. So it's a big deal. It's my first time, so everyone's happy. We're excited. We got the trailer in front of the house, so ready to start packing it and go to the house. Is a couple blocks away. It's not too far, so that'll make things a little easier. And I forgot what we had to wire the money, and the lady was like, "Oh, because it's Christmas, you know, Christmas time, the holidays." She's like, "Oh, it was bad last time." She's like, "Oh no, I'm not trying to scare you guys." I'm like, but it is what it is, and we're up for the challenge. We're up to, you know, do what we have to do, and just a little more work, but it's fine. And let me start us off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful day. It's raining, cloudy, but still a beautiful day. We're here in church. We're here in the local assembly. We're here to honor you. We're here to get into your word, and let the Holy Spirit be our teacher. We're grateful for what we have. We're grateful just to have this assembly. It's a beautiful assembly. We all love you. We want to give you the honor and praise. Render that which is yours. And just thank you for be there for those that are not here and the ailments they have. We pray for them. We pray for just everything. We are the ups and downs, and we love you, and we want to emulate that love to everyone else around us. And your glory in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. First Thessalonians chapter 3. Our text is verse 9 through 13. I'm going to kind of just read through chapter 3 real quick to kind of get that feel back and what we covered. And so we know that chapter 1 kind of describes the model church. Chapter 2 describes the model servant, and chapter 3 will be a model brother. And we know that 1st and 2nd Thessalonians are pertain to the coming of Christ, the rapture. And we kind of touched on our tribulations in the last time I was here. And we're going to kind of go over that. And the title for today, I always don't have one, but I got one today, and that's praying for and helping others. So, because the Apostle Paul prayed all the time for the churches that he went and established, and we know that he was there with the Thessalonians between 3 and 5 weeks. I don't think he's seen him again, and we'll see why, but okay, let's go to chapter 3 and verse 1, and start from there. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And we know that establishing is the mystery and what Paul was teaching. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that ye are appointed thereunto. Verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, as you know. So we know as Christians that we're going to, we got, God doesn't promise that we won't go through things, and that we, for today, and that we do go through things, hardships. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, we know the tempter, we've seen that, that was, there was two times in God's word where the tempter was mentioned, and that is Satan. And the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see you, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. So, just kind of going through that, we see that the good tidings of their faith and charity, you see that? And that's what you've seen it in the first chapter, where it's faith, love, and hope. Those are three things that Paul was looking for in the church. And the Thessalonians had great faith. They were, and to where they were known. Along, you know, they were known. And you see Paul here is just, he loved this church, and he kind of was letting it be known. And so our text is in verse 9, and we can start. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. So that render is mentioned 33 times in King James Bible, and to give and return. So that's kind of a quick definition of it. And let's go to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to kind of see with this render. We need to go through to a few verses. We'll be here for a little bit, but
a little louder.
Okay. Yeah. I'm on my 5-day weekend right now, so I'm like,
Huh? Everybody about your house.
Yeah, I did. I mentioned it. Yep. So, yep. And yeah, it's definitely good. Chapter 22, verse 21. All right. They say unto him, Caesar. They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. So, you see a difference there, and we know that Caesar, who was the, you know, the king or the main head of the state at that time, they would render taxes, money to Caesar. But what do we render to God? Well, you've seen there that we render thanks and praise to God today. And before, it wasn't, they were rendering something else. Let's go to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. And this is the first time render is mentioned. And I can never remember. I didn't know this concept. But I don't. I still haven't gotten into it. But well, it's the
law of first mention.
The law of first mention.
You should do it. It's an yeah. Awesome. It takes a good year.
Yeah.
It's well worth it.
Yeah. No, you're good, because I think it was you who told me about it.
Get out.
Yeah, yeah. So Numbers 18, the law first mentioned. This is the first time render is mentioned in the Bible. Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 9. Is it 9? Verse 9? Numbers chapter 18, verse 9. Okay, yeah. This is for this shall be thine of the most holy things reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespassing offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. So there they were rendering the offerings, the animal sacrifices and offerings to the Lord. And we know back then, when to be saved, they had to do these things. They had to render these sacrifices. But today, it's a different thing. We render thanksgiving to God because we are saved. It's a totally different concept. We know that Paul's epistles is a whole different, the mystery, and then they had the prophecy in the Old Testament. That's what they were rendering. In the New Testament, we render our thanks. And so let's go to Psalm 69, and we're going to kind of see a little more about this. Psalm 69, verse 30. So we're going to see that praise and sacrifice is kind of described in the same few verses here. Psalms 69, verse 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than the ox of the bullock and that hath horns and hoofs. So praise is a big thing to the Lord. You know, they rendered praise back then, and we do it today too. But here it looks like it's saying that the Lord loves praise more than them animal sacrifices. And them animal sacrifices were a serious thing back then, because it's the thing for their sins, because they didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't have the completeness that we have today in Christ. Okay, so let's go back. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to do a lot of jumping around today. Not too much, but yeah. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we're giving thanks unto the Father. And I got my notes mixed up here. But let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. The next. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So we're always to be giving thanks. Always. And in everything we do, we give thanks. And that's what we're to render to the Lord. And I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And this, we can start in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we know we're saved by grace through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So because we are saved, we give praise to the Lord, and we want to work for him, in service for him. So that verse, every time, I never knew for a long time about that verse, in verse 10, that we're unto good works. So There's a lot of people that in the world, they believe they have to work for their salvation. We know this, and we know that's not true. We believe that Christ died and that we're saved by grace through faith. And that's a beautiful thing to hold dear and to know, you know. So we can go back into Thessalonians. Kind of want to just go through a few verses about that, about rendering. So, I think I want one more. 2, 3, 4. Let's go to the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So, the belief of that truth that Christ died for us and we're sanctified, and we're going to see in a little bit that we're complete and we are complete in Christ. So, Paul considered the Thessalonians a gift of God. He believed they were a gift to him, and that he loved them a lot. He wanted to see them, but Satan hindered him. And question: do we feel that way with others around us? Do we feel that way that people are a gift of God to us? That they've been, you know, that they've been there for us and they love us and that we help each other. You know, I want to mention a guy at my job. So there's like new guys that come, all, you know, and because the job is kind of rough, so people are quitting and leaving and coming. So there's a new guy and he came and I shared the gospel with him. And I've never seen anybody so like enthusiastic to like know about it. It's such a, he like lifts my spirit up, man. He like really makes me like, he comes to work every day. He's like, oh, what's the scriptures for today? And he's always, yeah, it's cool, you know. Like I thought it was so cool. And I wanted to mention him today because he's making my job a little better. Because he works directly with me. He's my partner now. So one of my other partners got taken to another place. So now he's with me. So I get to share the scripture. He's learning. And he wants to come. So he might come to church. So that would be a blessing. But, you know, wherever you're at work, you're anywhere, you can share the gospel. You never know who might. Yeah, I've never had anybody so enthusiastic. Like, he literally will listen to everything I'm saying. He doesn't know a lot. I think he grew up in the Lutheran. I think he was in the Lutheran church. But to me, he's a blessing because it's just to have someone to listen, you know, that wants to listen and learn. And you never know, he might take it and tell his wife, tell his friends, tell his family members. And I think that's how it works, you know. I think that's how it works. We plant that seed and then something to happen. Something can grow out of that. So, and we are, and it's good to remember the hard work Christians to do for us, you know. Be thankful for that. And in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1, we see in verse 2 and 3, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. You know, the brothers and sisters in Christ, that, you know, their work of faith and their labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. I mean, we know of people that work hard for other Christians, for the church, you know, as the body of Christ, you know, knit together in love. So it's a beautiful thing to be reminded of, you know. And I, you know, just being at work and having that guy that working with me, it just lifts me up and makes me happy. So this one, because the work is hard. You know, it's a hard job, but when you got stuff like that and he works with you and he's not lazy and you get to talk scripture, you don't get that a lot. So I'm kind of like so happy about it. So hopefully he comes. That would be nice. And okay, we're back in our text, and we're still in verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? So when he's asking that, he's kind of asking that in the form of a question. It's like a figure of speech. I mean, how can I give thanks enough? How can I, you know, how can I thank you enough? You know, it's like I don't have enough. It's just not enough for me to just thank you for just, you know, him just being able to establish that church and people being saved and them growing. And I think that's what Paul is kind of emphasizing there. Okay, verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. So we've seen that. So he wanted to see them. I've mentioned that. And we see in the chapter 2 and 18 in 1 Thessalonians that wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. So whatever way Satan was working, Paul couldn't make it. So that's why he's praying. Paul praying for others more than he's praying for these churches, probably more than for his own infirmities. He had his issues. You know, we all know all the things he went through, and it wasn't pretty. So a lot of people would be praying for themselves. Oh Lord, help me! Pray out, you know, get me out of this. Or no, he's worried about the sake of others. And it's a good, you know, Paul is such a good example. Like people are. I just wish it'd be nice if people kind of, a lot more people would see this, because they want to hurry up and go, Paul, they're making too much of them, and they're quick to judge instead of really see for themselves. You know, it's like to see, like it's a good example. And it's the perfect example. It's what God made it so we can kind of relate. You know, relate to what Paul's going through. We can relate to that today. So it's good like that. So the Thessalonians were not lacking in strength of faith, but they were kind of lacking in a little bit of their understanding of their faith. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and 4. So we see in chapter 1, verse 4, we'll do verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you. So their faith was just on fire, you know, and it was growing at this time, and that their love for every one of you was on fire as well. All toward each other aboundeth. And so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Because we know they were going through that. So that's why I'm showing you that their faith was strong, but in the understanding of their faith, we can go to, they thought that the rapture would come after the tribulation. You see that in chapter 2. Of 2 Thessalonians, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Or they were kind of confused on when the rapture would come. Verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And the day of Christ is that the rapture. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be come a falling away, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And we know the son of perdition is the Antichrist. So when the Antichrist comes, the falling away first. And verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. So this Antichrist is going to oppose him and put himself above God. or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So we know, we all know that Antichrist is gonna play God. He's gonna play like he's the Lord, like he's the man. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So I'm sure we've told people that, right? Don't you remember I told you these things? Don't you remember that I let you know that? So that's what Paul's, you know, he's on. He's like, I told you this is that the that, and so that's a, those are deep verses there, you know, the falling away. So the falling away. Let no man deceive you, that the day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So the falling away, I'm not too sure what it completely means. We, at the end, you guys can tell me. But, you know, so, but I'm guessing that there's going to be not that many saved. There's going to be a shortage of the saved. And so that's one thing. That they were kind of their understanding, the Thessalonians. Chapter 3, verse 11, you see that they quit their jobs. And they were like, thought that it was going to come. They didn't, some of them quit their jobs. And chapter 3, and verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. And I didn't get into the busybodies definition, but they are just kind of, oh, the rapture's coming, or something's going to happen, or they're just busy doing stuff that they're not supposed to. And we, us as men, we, and men and women, and here in the body of Christ, we work today. We work to provide. Paul worked. He was a tent maker. He worked. He could have gotten, I think it was in Corinth, he could have, you know, got a check. He could have got paid for being in that church there, but he didn't. He worked so he could be an example to say, hey, I don't need your money. I don't need, I'm not here for your money. I'm here to save souls. I'm here to help others. So, yeah, they quit their jobs. So that's kind of a little bit of understanding that they were mixed up in. And chapter 4, in verse 13, they were worried about their loved ones, that they would miss the rapture. And they, we know that they will, when Christ finally comes, that they will be, First Thessalonians chapter 4. Yeah. And verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I got a little bit of chills there. That's I mean, that's our hope, right? And we, you know, we got the that those, so he was telling them, those that are dead in Christ, they'll be with the Lord. The Lord will grab them, and then we will be with them. We'll meet them in the air, in the clouds. So Paul's just, okay, just, you know, refining and letting them know and keeping them up to date with that. So, all right. We're still in verse 10. So we know Satan hindered them. And So night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So that was that lacking in the faith. I didn't read all the way through. But that was what I was getting at, that they were lacking in their faith there. And so perfect and complete. I'm just going to go through some of the verses. And we're just going to go through them because Colossians is the next. So let's just go to Colossians and chapter 1 and 28. No. We can do 27. So we know that Christ, the mystery of indwelling Christ, so Christ is dwells in us. Verse 27 of Colossians chapter 1. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. So, we are, you know, to present every man perfect in Christ. Why? Because we're complete in Christ, and we see that in chapter 2 and verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And Christ is the head of all principality and power. And we know the principality and powers are the hierarchy of the angels. And so he's above all governments, all everything. That's Christ is the head, and we are complete in him. And just to do it, we go to verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, not some, not a little, not a few, not yesterday's, not just the ones that are bad and a little good, not that bad, not the ones, all of them, every single one, past, present, and future, all sins. So anybody listening, all sins. The Lord is, how does that work? Well, we had the ultimate sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's just a consist. We have the Holy Spirit of promise, you know, the seal of promise, where we're sealed, and nothing can separate us. You see that in Romans 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And let's go to St. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. And Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So we know that we're Christ. When God sees us, he sees us in Christ, and he sees us complete. But we're supposed to stand in that standing, in our service. Our service should reflect on what our position is. Like, we're not perfect, but, you know, and because we don't need to be baptized. We don't need to speak in tongues. We don't need to the law of Moses to be, you know, following that to the T to be perfect and complete. Christ has done all the work. We just believe, and we have what we have in the Christ. So, that which is so that lacking in faith, and sometimes today we lack in our faith and understanding that a lot of sincere Christians who love the Lord, they're lacking in their faith, that understanding these beautiful truths that we're complete in Christ, you know, so, and that we have these things, and so that's a thing that Paul was praying for, and he was writing to these Thessalonians, because what did it, you know, when you revise, revision, repeat, you know, always, you know, they say, well, how do you repeat yourself? Well, we want to make sure we got it down packed. We want to keep revising, keep learning. And, okay, so we got that down packed. And so we started on the 30, so we stop on the 15 now. I remember we used to go to the half hour, but now we stop at the, okay. All right. Almost got confused there. All right, verse 11 in 1 Thessalonians. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. So I know there's, in verse 11 and verse 12, I know there's deeper things there that I'm not at that point yet in my learning. So I've heard it say that it's the epicenter of the epistle. It's got the personal relationship with God the Father and personal relationship with the Lord. So I'm not going to say that I know so much about this, but I will say about the direct our way unto you. So what is the direction of your life? Of our lives? Are we having that personal relationship with Christ? Are we having that personal relationship with the Father? Do we know Him? You know, like, do we... are we into His Word? Do we share it with others? Do we really meditate on His Word? Constantly think, what does God say about this situation? You know? So the Lord's direction for us is to do what we can to help others with their faith. That's one of the directions. And then as Paul is our pattern, this is what Paul was doing. This is what he did. He constantly checked others' faith, and I'm not going to say I'm the best at it, and I'm not going to say that I do, you know, that I'm best, but little goes a long way, right? If you just try, you know, we're not perfect, so, but we want to do what we can, and little can go a long way. And like I said, we have that personal relationship and to help others. So are we really helping others? Are we trying to get people to know this? It's a question we can ask ourselves, you know. And I try to ask myself. And we're not, like I said, that's why the Lord has forgiven us of all our sins, because we sin. We come short sometimes. So, and He's there. A lot of people think, oh, I do this and I do that, and I'm bad, and if I walk into the church, it'll call a catch on fire, and, you know, they got all these jokes, but, like, that's a good, actually, that makes you qualified, even more. Come to church. The Lord wants you where you're, you know, He knows where you're at. We all sin. We all fail. So, that's the God we serve. A loving, forgiving, merciful God. So that's what He's on today. He's on grace is the what's the program for today, and He's showing grace to all. So don't ever think that way, because that'll hinder you from that'll stop you from growing and actually giving yourself a chance. So okay, just moving forward, let's go to chapter verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. So, to increase in love, so I'm going to kind of talk over this, but to increase in love, we are to increase in knowledge. So, to plant the Word of God in ours, chapter 3 and verse 6. To plant the Word of God in ours and others' hearts. The knowledge of God is the road to having love for one another. So when we learn, grow in the Lord, and it'll help us to have love for one another. So like when you're puffed up in knowledge, but don't be prideful, because if you're puffed up in knowledge, it's a sure way to get potential people, it's to get potential people to know the Lord to not listen to us, you know. And when we're, well, Jesus done this for me, and you're not doing what you're supposed to, and it's all, let me tell you what you're supposed to be doing, and you may be right, but when you act that way, people who aren't, that don't know, they're gonna be like, dude, no, you know. And I've done it before. You know, in my infancy as a Christian, you know, I did it to my family, and they were just like, this guy's crazy, you know. And that's a turnoff to the truth. So it happens. It's happened to me, and it happens. We don't want to be on that. We want to do it in love. So the knowledge is not the end. It's the means to the end, which is the total end is not love, but it's that knowledge and then that love. And then this is a quote from Pastor Ricky. I thought it was good. So, if your knowledge of the word isn't leading you to love the person sitting next to you, there's something wrong with the way you're learning God's word. So, I thought that was nice because there's churches out there and there's people that they go to church every day. Every Sunday they're in there, but they're kind of bitter, or they had knowledge, or they're mean, or they, if you're not part of their group, then you're nothing. You know what I mean? Like, it's out there and people are doing it, but to love thy neighbor, love others, you know, we could say it all day long, you know, we are to love all men, believers and unbelievers, family, friends, workers, people on the street. Love the sinner, not the sin. There's a, you know, there's people, all, you know, we're not trying to love the sin, but, and Paul, you know, he says in, we can go back to Thessalonians, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians, but he says there that, even as we do towards you. So we've seen that Paul loves the Thessalonians down to his soul. You see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. That's down to his soul he loved the Thessalonians. And Paul's prayers were answered, for their love and faith grew. And that was, we've seen that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, where we've seen how their faith was growing strong. So, and we can finish off because we're losing time. In chapter 13, verse 13. Even as we do toward you, to the end, so there's that end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So, this was kind of confused me a little bit, but it's kind of mentioning the rapture there, but we can, like I said at the end, I would like to hear what you guys think, but there we have, so we know that the blood of Christ cleanses us of all our sins, and that's how we stand unblameable. And so, we are already complete and perfect and unbelievable. God sees us in Christ, not in our sins. But from what I'm seeing here is that he just got done praying for them, and he just got done mentioning all these things. And this is kind of like, instead of our stand, where we stand, this unblameable, that when we were at the judgment seat of Christ, and that it's kind of the tail end of the rapture, and that with all his saints there, that he comes down and he grabs us, and then we go up into we go to heaven with him. And when he brings us up to heaven during that rapture period, that's to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. So this verse was confusing me, so I don't know for sure, but that's one thing that I'm seeing about it. And like I said, if there's any comments about that, please let me know. And we're getting to that time, so I appreciate it. And is there any comments or questions? Go ahead.
I just have a note in my Bible, and I'm not sure where I got it from, that it's the end of the tribulation.
Yeah.
We come back with the...
At the end of the tribulation.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. See that? I didn't know where to go with that. So, and anybody else? Did you?
Oh, in terms of, you were right about Paul was talking about their state. Right. He was talking about, so his whole point was he wanted to help them grow in their, you know, better understanding,
mm-hmm,
mentioned of their faith. So Yeah, he wanted, so you were right about what you were saying.
About
the states.
Verse 13?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so, right, because it's not, we already know that we're complete and perfect.
Yeah, he's not talking about their official, you know, their position that they have.
Yeah.
But he's talking about, he wants them to grow in the Lord.
Right, to grow and to be in service. Right, right. Okay. Well, good.
It's kind of like Jim was saying there, it's kind of like the expression, be filled with the Spirit. That's kind of like what he's saying in this passage here. You know, these passages are highly Trinitarian. You can detect that, obviously, from reading them. But from the beginning of the letter, he says, you know, to the church and the Thessalonians, which are in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't, you know, he doesn't just say, well, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. He doesn't just give them something stagnant out there in the middle of nowhere. He kind of personalizes and shows, like he says here with the, I prayed for you and I was comforted with from you and you were comforted from me. He really shows the personalized nature of the relationship that people have in the body. He doesn't just stagnate it as a doctrine, so to speak. He lays it out in practical terms.
Right.
And obviously, he's wanting to get across the idea that we have a relationship. We have a personal relationship with God the Father, and we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Both. We can go to the Father, we can go to the Lord, you know, and obviously, he's emphasizing these things, but because I think the Thessalonians might have been having a difficulty with that.
Right.
And he talks about their faith and charity, and then he winds up explaining about the rapture in verse 13. And he emphasizes all the saints, because he wants to show the whole body, the entire, and he's going to do that again, the dead in Christ. All of the dead in Christ are going to rise, and the living saints in chapter 4, same kind of thing. So.
Okay. Appreciate that. Definitely. Anybody else? All good? All right. Well, thanks. And let me close this off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for our opportunities we have in you. And just hopefully we learned something today. I know I did. And that we take this with us. The holidays are coming up, and we, whatever, if anybody wants to celebrate them or not, let it all be in your name and your glory. We do it for you. We do all things in you, give thanks to you, and let us stay diligent in your word and to always keep you in mind in all situations. Again, be with the people who are not here, who are sick, and thank you for the people that are here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.